This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning. Is Jace, our sponsor today, is Allied Industrial Sales. All right. Looking at weather, 63 down on island this morning. Warmed up during the night. Looks like cloudy skies today with a high of 66. Northeast winds will be 10 to 20. About a 20% chance of a shower or so, but tonight, cloudy skies, low of 61, east-northeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, cloudy with a slight chance of a rain shower with a high of 69, east-southeast 10 to 20. So a little warming trend before next week. So cooler weather ahead, they say. We'll take it. All right, looking at Galveston tide predictions. These are Galveston Channel tides. We're sitting on a high right now. That occurred at 2:59 a.m. It was a 1.0, a low coming up at 12:04 p.m. It's a negative 0.6, and then a high tonight at 8:31 p.m. and 0.9. 7:14 a.m. is sunrise, 5:34 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase is 8% visibility. Right now, current conditions looks like the buoy offshore is showing a northeast wind at 13, sustained north jetty 16, and looks like down by the pass it's about 9 miles an hour, and up north in the complex it's 6 and 5 and 8, so not too much wind to contend with. Rollover, the old rollover site is northeast at 9, so doable, no doubt about it. All right, well, let's get cranked up. Let's run over here to the Tri-Bay area and check in with the Hammer this morning, see what he's up to, and see what Captain Glenn Hammond's got to offer. Glenn, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you? Happy New Year, buddy.
You too, my friend.
Yes, sir. Did you get to go down and ground check you one of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't get a big one, but that's hunting. You got about a six-day window, and you hope something walks out that you're wanting to put on the ground, but it don't always happen. But I've got meat for the freezer. And
you can't get those horns to fit in that hog casing anyway.
Well, no,
they just don't work.
I am a bone collector. I love big horns, but I mean,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you got to come down here, and happy belated birthday to you too, man.
Thank you, man.
I missed y'all, and it's been kind of slow around here anyway, with the weather changing every other day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's been really, really cool down here along the beach. This morning, I think we got about it feels somewhere between 10 and 15, maybe northeast.
Yeah,
a little bit, right. Maybe. Yeah, something like that. But then I walked out on the front porch. It's chilly, coming straight up the pipe. I have a friend of mine coming over today, and we're going to fish this morning. As you would say, we're going to go out and check their pulse, because it's been...
Got to check that pulse, brother. Check that pulse.
Got to know what's happening out here, man, in that bay. Keep in touch with it. That's one thing that's really helped me out through my career, is being right here located, you know, right on the bay, where you can hop in your boat and go out anytime you want and check it out. So I'm very fortunate to have the convenience that we do. And anyway, the weather just hadn't cooperated this week. I went out one day, on Monday. I talked my neighbor into going with me and Melinda. We went for a little boat ride. The water temperature was 62, and I made about 20 or 30 casts and never got a bite. We put it back on the trailer and came on back to the house. Man, wasn't really mad at them.
Damn,
anyway,
why'd you try so hard?
Oh, I don't.
30 casts.
I don't know,
folks.
Man. broke a sweat.
She's just not right today. We're going to put her on the trailer.
You can tell it. You can tell it. You know what I mean. You go out enough. Yeah. You make enough cast and in some places. And anyway, nothing happened, man. A bird's, you know, the water temperature drops one day and then it rises the next. And like I said, it was 62 that day, which is really warm for this time of year. And I don't know. And like you said, next week it's coming. So, I mean, we got our warm weather right now. Might as well enjoy it. I was just looking at the forecast and shoot, it's barely going to get out of the 40s, it looks like, for a few days.
It messes me up. I wanted to fish next week after hunting for the last 10 days. So, hey, you can't have it all this time of year. I'll find something to do. You can bet on that.
Yes, sir. And that's my deal. The cabin fever's just got me. I got to get out of here. So I'm giving Melinda some peace of mind today. I'll just go out with a buddy of mine for a few hours. We're going to see what's going on. But the bait camps are all holding bait. Let's see. The last time I went out, that was on Monday. Nothing happened there. I had a fishing trip last week, and we used live bait, and we never even got a bite on it either. Some baby fish. But nothing to write home about. Didn't keep anything. So I've got my butt skunked the last couple of times I've been out there. So it happens to us. And, yeah. But anyway, we hung around the house to sit here at New Year's Eve, look down the highway, and you didn't have to spend a penny on firecrackers because as far as you could see was firecrackers going off. And it went off till 2 o'clock in the morning. There was still firecrackers going off. I mean, it was like they didn't give us a break this year, buddy. Quite a few people on the island to come down to see the fireworks and everything. And I don't know, just after about 2 days after that, now it's just peaceful and quiet again. And it's just not too much traffic. Well, it's just not the beautiful weather. Yesterday we had a low gray sky over us all day long, just real chilly. You had to get out of the wind somewhere because it's just overcasty and chilly, and it's winter. Hey, it's kind of trying to be winter for us anyway. But I've got an invite to go out to the ranch. I could go this afternoon and hunt, but I'm not really mad at them. I may go out there and just go visit with the guys and touch base with them and see what's going on out there. And, but I was invited to come hunting this weekend, so we'll see if it's going to happen. If it's very wet out there, I don't like going and driving through that stuff. It's pretty sloppy getting in and out of there. And anyway, if it's dried up, I'll go. But if it ain't, I'm not going to mess my truck up. I know it's a 4-wheel drive, and that's what they're made for. But I don't like slipping and sliding.
That's what
I like that
about South Texas. You can always get somewhere.
Yes, sir. Well, where we hunt is a low-lying river bottom territory.
Once all that gets wetted, it is dried out. It gets pretty sloppy.
And when it dries, the ground has 4-inch cracks in it out there. That old gumbo.
Gumbo,
man. Gumbo, buddy. And it's a mess, too. Even though it's to be an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes away from where I live, boys, there's some pretty animals and a lot of animals out there. Yeah. And I mean, deer, not big ones, but they got nice little bodies on them. You know what I mean? They're healthy. We don't put out any minerals or any protein or anything like that. We don't even feed them corn out there. I think about 2 years after Doug got that place, he took down his corn feeders and never has put them back up again. It's never needed to.
Wonder why?
If you just go out there and sit long enough, and you'll see plenty of deer. That's why. you don't need to lure them in with that yellow corn, man. They're out there. You just need to sit still long enough in one place. And well, you got 3 or 4 deer blinds on the property, and it's 1,000 acres, so we got lots to look at. I mean, it's very fortunate to have a friend like that and a place to go like that. But I haven't had a fishing report for anybody. Nobody's called, so I know nobody's, it's just that time of year. Seems like Christmas and the holidays was over. I started on the 15th of December when we went to Austin, and it seems like every week or every day since then has been something. And, man, I've been sleeping good at night, sleeping hard. But let's see what else is going on, Captain Mickey. Not too much down here.
Hard to sleep with a guilty conscience.
Yeah, I know. You know. I'm trying to make my mind up after I get home from fishing today if we're going to head to the ranch or what we're going to do. But we'll figure it out. Hopefully I'll have you some kind of report by Sunday. I know I'll have you a fishing report because I'm going this morning. We're just going to go out and we're going to make a camp. We catch them, that's fine. If we don't catch them, that's fine. So that's the attitude to go with this time of year, because you'll make it or break it. They'll either be there one day and not the next, and then you go looking for them. But, you know, we've got some deep holes and channels and stuff, and that's basically what I do in the wintertime, is just kind of use my trolling motor and go around the deeper edges of the bay and the drop-offs and stuff, and, you know, just work the ambush points and that sort of thing, throwing soft plastics. And I love it, man. I love it. You can spend your whole day changing different colors and techniques and this and that, but you don't have to, man. If you're confident in one color, you'll catch them if they're biting and if they're there. And so that's what I'm looking forward to doing today, doing some soft plastics and maybe even catch a fish or two. Who knows?
You never know.
But, yes, sir. And let's see. I was going to tell you, the bait camps now are going into the later hours, so they're not even opening up till about 6 or 6:30 down here.
Right.
And they do have live shrimp and some pretty shrimp too, the ones I've seen.
Yeah.
But you're going to pay about $20 to $24 a quart, and they do have some mud minnows and finger mullet, but no croaker this time of year, so plenty of bait. I've seen the flags flying, so they do a pretty good job. I don't know, you know what they do? They're pulling trailers over to different areas to pick up their shrimp and bring it back. Shrimping has really been off here this year for the local guys. I mean, they did more trailering of their bait this year than I've seen in years and years and years. Normally, yeah, they just go down right down the canal with their shrimp boat, turn and make a loop and come back and bring up the white flags, you know. And it just hadn't been that way this year. It seems like there's one guy that's on the Intercoastal Canal, and he'd been shrimping for years and years and years, and he does okay. I don't know how he does it, but he keeps a few, you know, baits in there, and he's always got something, because his boat's in the water, and he can just go make a drag, and real convenient, you know what I mean? Even though it does take a lot of diesel to do that, and that's what I heard it was, is the people were spending so much on the diesel going out making a drag and only getting maybe 5 or 6 pounds of shrimp, you know, in a drag.
Yeah, and, it's not worthwhile.
They can't make a living like that. So they all built
worthwhile.
Okay,
well,
buddy.
Well, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to give you a call, get you going.
Shoot,
here.
Yeah. Yes, sir, and I appreciate you. 713-208-0683. Hey, man, y'all have a great weekend, Captain Mickey.
Thanks, buddy. See you.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, that's the Hammer in the Tri-Bay area. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 418 here in the Bayou City. And getting to that weather next week, that's going to change things up a little bit. Our water temperatures will plummet in that kind of weather. You know, along the coast, it'll be a little warmer, but just looking at the extended temperatures for Houston, I mean, highs during the daytime, Monday and Tuesday will be 48 and 49 with lows of 32. And we'll have a 33 on Wednesday with a high of only 43. And pretty stiff northerly winds. That'll definitely blow into the water and make things drop pretty dramatic. So change is coming. I think that's why these fish have been where they are. They know it's just typical winter pattern. It's the same every year. Same places, same time, same station. it's not rocket science. Wherever you caught them on cold years, you'll catch them on warm winters. They just, that's where the bait migrates to and establishes its pattern, and the fish are going to be with it, and the structure, all of it correlates. Bait, structure, and it's dependent on the angler who's going to catch them. And how patient you are. Sometimes you have to be really patient. You know they're there, but you can't get them to bite. You can go burn a bunch of gas, and you end up coming right back there and catching them right where you started out. All right, let's go down to Port Lavaca. Let's check in with old Mike Smith this morning and see how he's doing. Good morning, Mike. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. How you doing, Mickey?
Good, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir. Family healthy?
Everybody's good, brother. It's
outstanding. Outstanding.
Don't brag too much. Something will happen.
Oh, everything I got breaks. You know, that just including myself. But, well, you know that.
Yep. But, what's going on in your backyard, your playground down there? You still working on some fish?
Well, I had been. You know, our tides were exceptionally high about 10 days ago. And now it is out there, and it's going further out. You know, it's if you could coon oysters anymore, you know, wade out with a bucket and get them.
Yeah.
You could do pretty good as long as no one was checking for the size.
Right.
Because, you know, they close the oyster seasons down here. Lavaca Bay, most of San Antonio Bay, like only 8 areas are open in the state of Texas. And most of those are in Galveston, and, you know, and you have private leases also down the coast, but not many. Most of those are in Galveston.
Well, we lost 80% of our oyster beds up here. Galveston used to supply 80% of, you know, the oysters all over the country. And
Yes, sir.
We've had a bad run on environmental, you know, weather conditions.
Well, yes, sir. Our pollution, you know, has a lot to do with it. And then over harvesting, and they don't return the shells to the areas where they should, you know, even though the regulation state they have to, they just take them out, they leave the dock and just dump them out in the bay anywhere. And I know that for a fact because I've been on oyster boats for years. But it is what it is. I mean, we waste our planet.
Like if these oyster boats get busted and they've got too many, you know, too many small ones, and they make them dump their bags, they make them go right back to the reef that they were getting them off of and dump them right there.
Right. They absolutely do. I mean, what can I say? You know, a lot of it just, like our fishing regulations, I don't think you should keep 3. Back when they went from 10 to 5, I was at, you know, meeting with Texas Park and Wildlife and the fishery department, and I was saying they should just keep the first 10 they catch, you know, but they didn't go for that. Then I said, out of the 5, just the first 5 you catch, didn't go for that. So, oh, well, that's just me, you know.
We shall see. We hadn't even been a year to these new limits yet. What did that go in effect last year in March or April?
I know.
And,
of course, I'm sure the guides aren't complaining about it much, but fewer people are going to be hiring guides to catch the few, I believe. I'm not knowledgeable about that anymore, but, you know.
Well, everybody's staying pretty busy. I mean, people are still going because it is about catching.
Boy, yes, sir.
I mean,
it ain't fishing.
Filling the freezer, it'd be cheaper to go to the market and buy your stuff. You know.
Yeah, but you can't buy speckled trout.
Well, no, but there's other species of fish you can fish for. If you're
that's true.
Load the boat with every species we got, and I noticed it's a lot more you know, pressure on other species of fish with more liberal limits, you know.
Well, yes, yeah, sir. Yeah, I never ate a tilapia, though.
No, I have a couple no. times, and it's not fish. Not to me.
It's not fish.
The texture,
it's like artificial lobster, right?
It doesn't grab me. And then after watching videos of how they can grow them in sewage ponds and septic holes
yeah.
and everything, yeah, I don't want a tilapia. There's too many other good fish in the sea, buddy.
Hey, man. I just had, 94 last, I had my 8th great-grandchild.
You had another one?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
They had it at home.
Did they? Really? That's
her first baby, Matthew's first baby. This is Jake the Snake's son. You know, he just got out of the military just about 6 months ago. He retired with 20 years from the Army. Anyway, he come up, his son, his eldest son, you know, he'd been married for about 2 years. He's in the Navy. But he come up and he got a phone call from the wife. Says, my water just broke. She said, yeah. She said, no, the baby's here. Just like that. They said within 30 seconds after water break, they had a baby.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah. I mean, like my twins, number 8 and number 9, Logan came to Axel, but Joshua wanted to stay in. I had to take him cesarean. No word of that. But it's just part of nature.
That's corky.
Just like
dog. Yep.
Yeah. And Super Spook. Yeah. Yeah, life is good.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
have you seen any big,
and they're still
big trout caught in your area lately?
No, sir. The biggest one I've even heard of.
A couple of weeks ago, somebody put on there, it was a little over 9 pounds. It's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. Real good one. I ain't caught one over 9 pounds in... I mean, 99 was the last one I had over 9 pounds.
Man.
Dang, time is passing fast. Of course, I don't weigh fish as much as I used to either.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm older than you are, which
comes.
Makes me old.
You're a dinosaur, man.
Yeah, well, I hope I can keep going as long as that old fart did, you know.
Oh, Johnny, your dad?
Yeah, the tough old fart.
He went for a while. He was on a roll.
Yeah.
He
taught me everything I knew. He's just a phenomenal fisherman.
A lot of the same crew down at Blaine's this Christmas when I was down there this past year. none of us are getting any younger. Everybody's losing about a quarter step a year. We're all still climbing blinds, getting up, you know, and getting in.
Amen. Yeah.
Still do that. That's good.
Yeah. And I've had good luck dove hunting. I mean, you know, I go out in my back pasture.
And there's millions of them.
I got a pond out there, sir.
There's millions of them. It's incredible how many birds the state of Texas has.
Oh,
right
I'm
now.
Telling you. Well, I got.
It's crazy.
You know, I planted 30 years ago, I planted 21 oak trees in my yard. And I wake up to music every morning and go to sleep with it every night.
Dove's
you know?
Good.
I mean, it's just. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. And sandhill cranes have been out there on my back pond. So it's just, I love listening to them too, you know.
Y'all are a crane county, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's just, it's phenomenal. I've seen, seriously, at one time I've seen over 100 cranes along the creek. Not my creek, but another creek.
Right.
Over near Olivia. I've seen over 100 cranes lining a creek at one time. It's just phenomenal. Right by in the sky.
Yeah, they're really good. That's a bonus bird there. That's a really good bird.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. And we still got, I think, till the 21st for dove season down here.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And they're thick.
It'll be good.
I didn't get to do any bird hunting. We had too many people deer hunting, and we didn't want to mess them up, you know, quail or
dove. Oh, I heard that. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been down south. Quite a while.
You need to go. It's That's dry down there. Boy, they could really use some rain. I mean, just an inch will go a long way. I mean, when the quail run across the road, they leave a dust trail. Little rooster tail coming off their feet.
Yeah, well, the only bird down there that's enjoying it right now is roadrunners.
You know, I didn't see many of them this year. You know, usually I see a lot of them while I'm hunting. I may have seen a couple. I just didn't see a lot like I normally do.
Boy, that's some quail killing suckers, I tell you what.
Yes, they are. That's what Blaine said.
Man. Oh, eggs. They can, well, not just that. If they run through a covey of quail, you know, the little ones, when they're like roaches running around everywhere, they'll peck them, just kill them as many as they can. Then they'll go back and eat them.
Yeah.
Now, they'll only eat about three or four, but they may kill a dozen.
Dang.
You know, just, yeah. They're mean. You know, but they kill rattlesnakes too, small ones, so.
Yeah, old Craig from
they're
Texas
not all
City
bad.
Comes down every Christmas and hunts, and he saw something pretty cool. A mama bobcat with four kittens. That is real unusual. Yeah, usually, you know, it's not unusual for them to survive and grow up like that. I mean, she must be a heck of a hunter to, you know, feed those kittens like that and raise them.
Usually
you'll see one or two kittens with them once they get more mature. But this one had four. That's pretty cool.
I imagine the gut pile would help out with bobcats down there.
Yeah, but they like live bait, man. They like.
Well, yeah, oh heck it. Yeah, I understand that. I'll eat what it takes.
Scavenging.
Right.
Like
I'll eat anything. Logs. I'm hungry. Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Was that mountain lion still down there? Or has that been too many years ago?
No, they've got several. There's been several spottings. Nobody saw one on the trip I was on.
Okay.
There's no talk about it, but then somebody a couple of weeks before we got down there had seen one. It was a young.
One years ago walk across the damn rifle range down there.
Yeah, that cat's been spotted a couple of times walking across the gun range.
I'll be dying.
That's always fun. That's usually going on between
the
day. Everybody likes to go out there and shoot their rifles and their pistols. And
I can't remember who it was that took that 50 caliber down there and shot it. And, I mean, it blew a dust cloud behind him. And he had those dents on the muzzle.
Yeah.
And everyone was standing behind a little bit. But, I mean, it pushed people back when he shot that 50. And he asked if anyone else want to shoot. Well, I raised my hand, you know. And I was expecting, there wasn't nearly the recoil I thought there would be.
No, well, it's so heavy, you know.
Right, that, and with that muzzle suppressor on it.
Right.
He said he fired at the gun range, he shot at the gun range before, and it blew the guns off the other tables.
Oh, yeah. I like seeing the 338 Lapua. That's sweet.
Oh, my goodness. I can't afford a gun. I got my Remington 700. I got a couple of them and a Winchester Model 70s. And, yeah, I've got some guns. You know, it's something I've been into all my life. No paramilitary. But, you know, I've got guns, several from the 1800s. It's just what I do. I don't need another AR-15 or anything like that.
Well, you need plenty of guns because when you leave, they got to all get spread out and pass them through the family.
Well, all my boys, they all have gun collections now. You know, they all have at least 10. All four sons have at least 10 guns.
Right.
Minimal. But they're collectibles. They're not just guns. I mean, I've got every Browning ever made as far as the only Browning I have that's made in Japan is my over and under Saturi. The rest of them are all Belgium, all of them.
Right, I remember
that.
They had that auto
my
5,
dove guns
that light 12, the one with the gold trigger.
Oh, yeah, Japanese yeah.
Japanese made Browning. I think
I've still got my Model 12 that comes Come on, Michael Joe.
Well.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Well, Mike, I'm glad all's good, all your family's good.
Everything is good, sir. I mean, life
so
is good.
You're a great-grandfather for the eighth time now?
Yes, sir, but my kids are still producing. You know, I got 17 grandchildren and, you know, 9 kids, and it just, they keep producing. I don't know where they got it from.
I don't either. That fruit never falls far from the tree, buddy.
Okay. Well, I love you, brother.
All right. You too, Mike. You take care, man. Happy New Year. So, buddy. Thanks for checking
in. Say hi to Junior and Rhonda. I love y'all.
We'll do her.
Bye. Later. I'm out of here.
All right.
Later.
All right. That's Mike Smith down in Port Lavaca. All right, folks. If you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch. They can sleep large groups of up to 40 or host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:39 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to South Padre and let's check in with our good friend, Captain Brian Barrera. Good morning, Brian. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Couldn't be better. And you? Happy New Year to you, man.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm doing pretty good. Getting just got up a few minutes ago, getting ready to walk around and start getting ready for the day. Slept in a little bit today because it's been kind of foggy. We're going to see if it's not too foggy this morning. We can get out there and get after some big snook, hopefully.
Atta boy. Awesome.
See how it goes. Fishing's been good. We've been hitting it hard. I just took New Year's Day off, and that was pretty much it. Other than that, I've been hustling hard, fishing every day. I fished every day last week, worked a double. Well, I guess I had Christmas off, too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, fishing's been going. Last week was a little tough because, I mean, it was colder and it started warming up. Once it warmed up last week and the tides that I had lined up, it was all right. We were going out. I fished the flats all week, and we were going out and catching some pretty good trout. You know, we'd get our limits of trout pretty darn quick, a drift or two, you know, and just throwing soft plastics, little purple chartreuse, 1/8-ounce jig heads, you know, on the days that we had some wind. We would just kind of drift, and then there's a couple of days where it was glass flat, too, and with the extreme low tides we've been having, I was kind of working some channel edges and stuff with the trolling motor with, you know, extreme low tide and no wind, made it kind of tough, so we just kind of hit the channel and snagged up a limit to trout, a couple of black drum on artificial, you know, accidental drum, and a few redfish here and there. You know, we didn't light the world on fire, but we survived every day. And that was good. And then, you know, doing a lot of pothole fishing and stuff too. It's good. I'm happy to be back doing that. I've been, you know, tarpon fishing and then snook fishing for the whole month of December. It's good to be back on the flats chasing some redfish and trout. It's the time of year where I start to get into that again. And I'm looking forward to it.
Did you get many tarpon in December this year?
I didn't know. My friends were landing some fish, this year. I mean, I may have caught some smaller ones early. I don't remember. But I don't remember when the last one was that I caught. I know I was sending them to James because I was seeing them and hooking them. And I know that they were here. But the way my schedule worked out with my clients and stuff, I didn't really have it lined up on where, like the few last calm days that were out there. I was kind of already chasing a different kind of species, you know, so it kind of got in the way of it. But stars didn't align this year to get out and chase them. It was super flat 2 days ago, and I almost went out and looked and cruised the beach, but it's hunting season, so I went deer hunting instead.
Yeah, I was hunting all last week, and I was thinking about you. I said, man, it's hot. It's like summertime. I mean, it was hitting like 92 and 95 in the afternoons. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it's been hot. It's been hot. But luckily, yesterday was a little bit cooler. You know, we had a small front blow through, a mini one, and it cooled it down a little bit. And yeah. We went snook fishing, and we did pretty good. I think I had two guys from the Beaumont area yesterday, and I think they caught maybe 17 snook between the two of them.
Right.
And about four redfish, all on artificials, not bad, throwing a DOA shrimp on soft plastics, kind of bottom bouncing them, and snagged a few nice ones. Nothing too crazy, but it was consistent, so hopefully today's a little bit better.
Do you have a lot of cloud cover yesterday?
Yes, sir. It was actually clear in the morning for the drive out, and then once we got out there, fog rolled through over the top of us. And it was foggy and cloudy all day long, pretty much, that we fished.
Yeah.
We fished 7 hours.
Well.
But we'll see how it goes today. I got to snook fish the next 2 days, and then I'll be back on the flats next week again. But I'm not sure for how long I'll be back on them flats because, boy, I don't know if you've been watching that weather, but it looks like something's coming.
Yeah, it's going to get pretty cool next week. It's going to put my fishing on the back burner. 32, 33 for lows, and then only highs in the 40s every day with a lot of north wind. So that was the
sounds
week
a
I should
like
have went hunting.
Calling my name. Yeah, it sounds like the deer lease is calling my name, but I'm booked.
Yeah,
so
that's deer
come
hunting
down,
weather there, man.
Yeah, figure it out. Yeah.
Well, yeah. There'll be some big deer field next week down your way. Promise you.
I heard that they're moving really good in spots
for
my friends there right
like
now.
Crazy. Oh, man. I saw so many.
Late this year.
Yeah. And man, they're on the does big time. Every buck's walking around with his licking his nose and his lips and his nose to the ground and chasing scents. It's pretty cool to watch right now. It's a lot of fun.
I look forward to that. My dad's very heading busy up there in a couple of days, so he's good, but I'm already booked up for the rest of deer season. But if the weather is really bad, and we have to cancel some trips, I'm going to make a 2-day run at least up there.
Heck yeah, it'll be worth your while, man. I thought of you the other morning when I left down there, coming back. I ran up a bunch of turkeys. Thank goodness I got on the brakes and slowed way down, or I'd have wiped my truck out. There was about 12 or 14 big old gobblers right in the middle of the highway. Unbelievable.
Wow.
One of them jumped up on my hood and walked across it and then flew off of it. Big old gobbler.
Oh, my gosh.
Big beards,
right,
man.
Until you decide to hunt for them, then they're skittish again.
Well, true, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm looking. I've got a turkey hunt's already, dates already set every year for the opening of turkey season. We head to Zapata and do some bass fishing on Falcon Lake, hoping to catch the bass spawn. And then the next day is March 15th, opening turkey, and we go and turkey hunt. Kind of like a tradition me and my fiance do.
Right. That's cool.
We're looking forward to that.
Well, I know it's dry down there, man. Real dry.
Yeah, our pond is almost completely dry at my ranch that we hunt at.
Right.
It was overflowing at some point, with all the rain during the summer that we had gotten. Dried up quick.
You can look at the animals and all the birds and everything. You tell y'all had the rain at the right time. I mean, everything's thriving, all species. But it's all brown and dead now and dusty.
Yeah. Yep. I've been seeing a lot of different stuff up there, and it's really green this year. We had to do a lot of brush trimming and everything, So I know everything's pretty healthy, even though there's not much water right there and it's kind of dry. Everything's good, and they're moving. There were some big bucks out there this year. I just didn't get a chance to drop the one I wanted to. So
I don't know where you'd have to buy some more freezers, man. That nail guy, good Lord. How much meat is that going to make?
Yes, sir. the good thing is that shooting that Neil guy made me a whole lot pickier about which buck I shoot now, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, you can forward
to. I was going out with pretty low standards at the early, at the beginning of the season.
It's amazing how that cull factor just keeps going down as the season gets later, you know?
Yeah, now I'm just, now it's just like trophy status only, you know?
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to hope for the best and see what happens, you know, and keep on grinding. We'll keep fishing here every day that we can, and if the weather gets bad, we'll get up there and do some hunting. But, you know, we're hoping for the best.
I just got a text from a listener. Said, ask Brian. He fishes for all species, but if he had to just fish for one, what's his favorite to target and fish for?
Oh, man. That's an easy question. It's obviously the Silver King, the tarpon.
No doubt.
Number one.
That would have been my answer for you.
Chasing, my passion for chasing the tarpon is not even close. Nothing else even matches it whatsoever. It's the most pure thing I've ever known. That's what I absolutely love to do, is chasing tarpon. I would do that every day if I could, but I can't. So I chase snook second, tarpon. If I could every day, I'd catch tarpon. If I can't do that, then I like to go and catch snook. After that, my third favorite thing to do is drift the flats and just blindlessly cast out and try to catch a bunch of redfish, just drifting, having a good time, you know, with my friends and catching redfish on the flats doing that. Fourth would be probably speckled trout, and then fifth would probably be bass fishing. But tarpon, snook, and redfish are the top three for me.
Wow.
I like a good hard tug, and boy, those tarpon do it for you, you know.
Well,
but I love to do so much different styles of fishing, you know, as the seasons come. You know, I fish so much. I fish every day but Sunday, and I'm so busy. It's good to do different species and different things to break it up a little bit. You know, by the time sheep's head season comes around, you're never looking forward to sheep's head season all year, but then by the time it comes, I've been doing one thing so much, I'm like, man, it's going to be fun to go catch some sheep's head a couple of times this week. You know, and then I've been tarpon fishing for 5 months straight, waking up at 3:30. I'm like, man, I'm actually looking forward to sleeping in till freaking 6 in the morning and going to drift the flats for some redfish. You know, you just, that's the good thing about chasing so many different species and the stuff that I do and the things that I offer. I get to, it always keeps me on my toes, you know. It's hard to stay on all the species of fish all the time, but over the years, you know, I've learned a whole lot about them, and I've gotten pretty good to switch over whenever the time switches over to chase what Mother Nature has given us, you know.
Seize the opportunity.
Barn away tarpon.
Yeah, that's an incredible fish to catch, and just a, it's just a great sport. I mean, it stinks because we don't have it year round. Man, that'd be awesome if you could be like Florida and you catch them year round.
Yeah, I would. I'd retire the trout rod forever if I could. If I could chase them year round, I would. You know, it's easy to say that at 40. You might not be saying that at 55 or something, you know. But that chasing them things is a young man's game. Don't tell James that, though, you know. Yeah. But it's hard.
He gives it hell, I'll tell you that. He's pretty spry for his age.
Yes, sir. I'm already looking forward to next season, you know. And there's still juveniles around. My friend caught three little, like, 20-pounders the other day. I've got a friend who's coming in town right after that big cold spurt hits, and we're going to see. He wants to try to chase some juveniles, so we're going to work hard for 2 days straight and see if we can get a hold of some little mini ones. You know, I think he's bringing his fly rod and stuff.
Oh, that's fun on light tackle, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, a little fly rod, a little 10-pound braid, trout rods and stuff like that to get those. Sometimes they're like 4-pound tarpon, sometimes they're like 30 pounds, you know. It's pretty neat. But we'll see if they're not all 30 foot deep after this cold front comes in, you know. So they're going to be pretty shocked. I know that lots of these fish in the ship channel area that I fish, whenever it gets really cold, they head down deep because there's a lot of pipes underwater that lots of these companies in there are using to, they use the water to cool the pipes.
Right.
And the water temperature will be slightly warmer surrounding these underwater pipes that are like 15 feet below the surface, you know. And I'll see on my GPS fish just stacked up on them because it's
got
to be a couple of degrees warmer right next to those, you know, those heated pipes.
Well,
and they'll just be pretty hard to to get to, you know, I mean, to find to that far deep to, you know, put your lure in the right place is kind of hard. So if you really like the warmer days during the wintertime, if you're going to try to get those tarpon up, because when it's time to go down, they go down, and they're not, they don't want to party. They're not going to party. You're not going to find them.
Well, in the height of your tarpon season, you know, when you're chasing them every day, what's your go-to bait for them? Is it natural baits or artificials? What's your main gig for that?
So my catch rate is probably 75% artificial, 25% live bait.
Right.
I throw both every single day. I throw the cast net every single morning before the sun comes up and catch bait for my clients, because there's not a ton of fish here. You know, we don't have the crazy numbers, but I have consistency in my weather and the fish that are in closer to where I don't need the best weather to go. I can still go catch tarpon in 3 foot.
Right.
You know, I can go almost every day. So, but there's not a ton of numbers, so I need every chance we can get. So I always have a couple of live baits hanging out the back of the boat, and I got my clients up front throwing lures. And this year, the most successful lure was the 7-inch AM fishing lure, those ones that kind of smell like garlic, and the guy here in Texas makes them locally.
Right.
We were coon popping those things, and we caught maybe 50 or so fish on those alone. Really big ones.
It's a 7-inch.
Yep. And we were using the 5-inch also, depending like certain time of the year. There was a ton of mullet around. We're using the bigger one. When the rain minnows come, I'm using the smallest one I can get.
Gotcha.
That doesn't look ridiculous on a 2-ounce jig head. You know what I mean?
Right.
Got to kind of match it up. And you don't want some huge jig head in the baby bait. But we do that. And I was also using the DOA Bait Buster. That's one of my all-time favorites. So I believe that the AM fishing lure and the coon pop rig, I land more fish like that, and my clients do, because it's rigged up with a circle hook. But that DOA Bait Buster gets a bit more than any tarpon lure I've ever thrown in my life, for sure.
Well, that's good.
It's just
hard
to get a client who's never done it before to throw a straight jig hook, tell them to set the hook like a madman and hope that they can get it done. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I prefer the circle hook method for the clients. Unless they're really experienced, I put them on the Bait Buster. But sometimes these the Bait Buster is more for the beach, shallower water, you know, because it's only an ounce. But when I'm fishing the jetties and stuff, sometimes there's or in deeper water, like further offshore, the beach. I mean, sometimes there's a school of 300 fish, and they're all 40 foot down. You know,
right.
It's just too hard to time a 1-ounce bait to sink that far, especially if the current's ripping, which is usually when those schools are stacked up and big full moons when the current's ripping. So you need like a 2-ounce bait, sometimes even a 3-ounce bait, to get down far enough so that way you can be accurate to get your bait where you think those tarpons are. You know, and most of the time they're never going to hit it, but you just got to keep baits in faces. You know, if you keep baits in faces, you know, you get a bite every hour or something like that.
Yeah.
One or two of them's going to stick at the end of the day.
Sooner or later.
Everybody's going to be happy.
It.
Yeah.
Bates all right, Brian. Well, I appreciate all the good info this morning. That was good getting to talk to you for this long. So if somebody wants to get with you and come down and fish with you, give them some info how they reach you.
Yes, sir. Area code 956-755-9413 would be the quickest, best way. I just opened up my book for 2025 tarpon season. I still have some openings, especially in June, July, October. And I've also got a lot of openings coming up for the whole year. So if any of the sickos want to come and hang out, now's the time.
All right.
I appreciate everything. I appreciate all the business for 2024 for all the sickos that booked me. And it was a whole lot of them. I really appreciate that and the radio time.
All right, Brian. We appreciate you, buddy. You have a great new year, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
All right. See ya. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.